Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Godfather movies, the Corleone name was a name of power. It offered you protection, but it could also make you a target for the enemies of that name. Jesus prays to his Father here, asking him to protect us by the power of his name, because we need it. Marked with his name in baptism, we become targets of every enemy of that name. The first half of verse 11 tells us why Jesus prays this prayer on behalf of his disciples. He's going away. He's not going to remain in this world. He's returning to his Father, and his disciples are going to be left in this world. Jesus is going to leave them. First, when he's crucified, died, and he's buried. And then again at his ascension. While Jesus was with him, he protected his disciples and kept them safe by the name, by the power of that name. To have a good understanding of what Jesus is asking his Father to do, we need to know, from what do we need protection? During his earthly ministry, Jesus protected the 12 from storms, from the hostility of those who were opposed to him. He provided for their needs with the leftovers from the feeding of the 5,000. But his primary work of protection was to keep the devil at bay, to keep them safe from that prowling lion who sought to consume them. Jesus was the good shepherd who stood between them and that wolf. But now he's going to leave them, and they will still be in the world, among the wolves. So Jesus prays. But this isn't a prayer that asks the Father to remove the dangers, to remove the wolves. It's a prayer to ask the Father to keep them safe in the midst of those dangers. And for the 12, for those who follow Jesus, there'll be plenty of dangers. So with the exception of John, they will all eventually be martyred. But with the exception of Judas, not one will be lost. Not one will be consumed by sin, death, and the devil, even though they die a physical death. In response to Jesus' prayer, the Father will send the Holy Spirit, who, as Luther says, will sanctify them and keep them in the one true faith. And that promise is the same for us. We've been marked with the name in baptism. That name is a sign of protection, united with Christ in his death and life, united with him in his saving work, marked with his name. There is now nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But it also makes us a target, because sin, death, and the devil are at work to destroy all that God created. We are beset by trials and troubles on a regular basis. Even as we stand up against injustice or prejudice, even when we stand up for those who have no voice, especially for the preborn, we become victims of injustice and prejudice. Today, there's a great deal of concern by many that the freedoms that we have to live out our faith by speaking the truth in love is being eroded and will eventually be taken away, so that we will face the same dangers that the apostles encountered. And the hope that sustained them is the same hope that will sustain us as persecutions increase, as the possibility of martyrdom might loom on the horizon. That hope is in Christ, in the great Good Shepherd who stood between us and the wolves that hound us. He stood between us and those wolves when he took on our sinful nature, when he was tempted in every way, just like us, to turn his back on his Father in heaven and follow his own path. He stood between us and those temptations and remained faithful. He remained perfect in his obedience. He fulfilled God's law. He then stood between us and sin, death, and the devil by giving himself into their hands, by suffering in our place the death they demand. On that same cross, Jesus also stood between us and the wrath of his Father that burns against sin. Jesus bore the full weight of that penalty. He was cut off. He was separated. He was condemned in our place so that we would be kept from suffering that condemnation, the condemnation that the sin of Adam deserves, that the sin we are as descendants of Adam deserves. Jesus died and was buried. Sin, death, and the devil received their wage. They were paid in full. The demands of God's law also were satisfied, paid in full by Jesus' death. But Jesus didn't remain in the tomb. He rose. The power of sin, death, and the devil was overthrown. And that victory comes to us in baptism. We are marked with the name. We are marked as one who has been redeemed, bought back from the power of the devil by Christ the crucified. By Jesus' saving work, the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell has been appeased. By the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus' sacrifice, we are forgiven, reconciled to God. We are at peace with him. We've been gathered into his family. Clothed in Jesus' righteous robes, we are welcomed into God's house and at his table. In baptism, we also receive the Holy Spirit who guards and keeps us in the one true faith. We receive the Holy Spirit who keeps us in the hope that is ours in Jesus and his resurrection that he shared with us. We have been marked with the name. And even when the world doesn't honor that name, God does by honoring his promises that have been fulfilled in Christ and given to us by faith in him. As children of God, as saint and sinner, we live now in two worlds at the same time. We've been raised from death in sin to life in Christ. We've been taken out of this broken world and brought into the kingdom of God. But we are still in this world. And we need to understand why. We are not in this world because there's additional punishment that we have to endure to make ourselves right with God. We are not in this world because there was no room on the bus. We remain in this world as living testimonies to the life and hope that is ours in Christ and the resurrection he shares. We remain in the world, in this broken world, where sin continues to do its work, where the devil still prowls. Jesus' prayer is that we be protected from the evil one, whose agenda fuels the isolation and separation that has been part of our world these past few months, so that the light of his salvation shine in this darkness, drawing all who wander in the dark to the hope that is ours in Jesus. That's why Jesus prays this prayer. That's why the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son and comes to us through the waters of baptism. He comes to fill us with the light of God's salvation so that we, by our words and deeds, become a beacon of hope that draws all who still walk in the dark to the light of Christ. We are living testimonies to a life and hope that cannot be diminished by the trials and troubles of this world. We live in a world where governments, authorities make decrees that seem to limit or could limit our exercise of our freedom to gather and worship, our freedom to speak the truth in love. And that raises issues of when do we speak and how do we speak and what happens when all of our freedoms are taken away. As one who has been marked with the name, as one who has been given a word of testimony, there is nothing the authorities of this world can do or say that will keep me from speaking that truth. Absolutely nothing. They can put me in jail. They can even put me to death. But I, like Peter, have to say, in the face of those troubles and the trials that may come, I have to obey God rather than man. He has given me a word of hope to speak in the midst of a hopeless world, that he might shine his light upon those who still walk in the dark, so that we together might become beacons of that hope, drawing all who wander to the light of Christ and the hope that he shares through the forgiveness of sins. May his light continue to shine. And may we, by the power of the Spirit who dwells in us, stand in that hope and in that promise and speak that word of life, so that God may indeed draw all who are lost to him and welcome them into his home. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.